Welcome to the Full Potential Podcast. I am your host, Nick Wagner Sr., and every week I interview guests that share career stories, ideas, and experiences to empower and inspire people to reach their full potential. If you enjoy the episode, please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts, Google, and Spotify. Thanks for listening. So Lindsay Chepkemo, welcome to the show. I want to share with everyone how I asked you to be on the podcast, but I'll let you do an introduction of yourself first.
Sure. I'm Lindsay Chepkema. I'm CEO and co-founder of a company called Casted. We're a marketing technology platform that helps enterprise marketers leverage audio and video content as the center of their sales and marketing strategy. I'm a career marketer, first-time founder, first-time CEO, and I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, you are a marketing and podcast guru for sure, which we will dive into. But I'll share how we met. So you had posted, and maybe you can give a little bit more context, but you had posted something on LinkedIn about how you didn't like being referred to as boss babe or like any of those like catchy like girl or woman business titles. And my wife saw your post and she was like, Nick, I love this woman. She never even met you. She's like, I don't know her, but you should ask her if she'll be on your podcast because she like really, really authentic. I really like what she's saying. So do you want to share what was in that post and why you wrote it?
Yeah, it was something along the lines of, you know, I'm not a CEO. I'm not a boss babe. I'm not a mompreneur. I am lucky enough. I'm honored to be the leader of an amazing team at a successful, fast-growing startup. And I happen to also be a woman. And, you know, let's basically cut it out with these qualifiers and these labels that kind of put a cap on people and the roles that they play because of who else they are in their life. And wasn't because of some crazy thing that I went through. It wasn't because, you know, somebody said something that night. It was just honestly a career of, a life of those kind of labels. And for some reason, sitting in my kid's orthodontist appointment in the waiting area, all masked up by myself while he had some work done. And for some reason, I posted it. And, you know, you never know how those things are going to go. That one went viral. And by the time we got home from the orthodontist appointment, things were already going crazy. And I think it resonated with people because everyone, regardless of whether it's because you're labeled as a woman fill in the blank or some other label, those labels don't feel good. It's one thing if you choose them for yourself. It's another thing if it's a qualifier that somebody else puts on you.
Well, I appreciate you sharing and I'm glad we met. And it is amazing what you can accomplish while your kid is in an orthodontist appointment, isn't it?
Right? Like
how it can just change your career all while someone's having their teeth looked at.
It's true.
And you know very well as a parent, like I do, right? I mean, you mix work and life and kids and business all the time, especially during COVID. So I appreciate you sharing that. But let's go all the way back. Like I want to start when you were little, Lindsay. Was your dream to be the CEO of your own company? Was your dream to be this marketing like ninja? Was your dream to be like, podcast didn't even exist when you were a little kid. So we'll cross that off. But like, what was the dream of little Lindsay what did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh man, I didn't not want to be doing this, if that makes sense. I didn't not want this, but I have always been very comfortable on a stage. So, you know, when I was little, that was literally going upstairs. I tell the story all the time that I would go whenever company would come over, which wasn't really that often, but I would go upstairs and I would like put on all kinds of dress up clothes. And then I'd be like, mom, I'm ready. And like, I would make whatever of my parents' friends were over there, like come and watch me walk down the stairs because obviously I had a show to do. And then, you know, that translated into drama camp in elementary school over the summer. And then I did theater in high school and, I was a music nerd. And, then in college and after college that just turned into being really comfortable, you know, raising my hand when there was a presentation to give or, just kind of some kind of support to be offered, the opportunity to kind of show up. So, I think in that way I didn't not want this, but who knew that this is what that would turn into, right?
I'll just say it's interesting how your desire to maybe be heard, or to, like you said, put on a show or perform or be in front of an audience.
Yep.
Even as a little kid, I mean, you ended up being in front of an audience for the podcast later on in life, right?
Which
is like at the center of your entire business. So it is interesting. And I love how you actually, and the other thing that you just shared was, I'm sure of this because I have a lot of friends that took your route with like the drama and the music piece, is that prepared you for this whole idea of public speaking, right? I mean, if you can be on stage in front of a whole audience acting, talking in front of 10 people in a meeting is no big deal.
Right. Or pitching to investors and raising capital. I mean, it's incredible the way that all of those experiences have served me. I mean, stage presence and rehearsing and practicing. And I was not an athlete. No matter how hard I tried.
And
you know what?
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's important to say that because I think a lot of, at least I know, and I think we're around the same age. A lot of people equated like, well, you have to be good at sports, right?
Yep.
Like, you don't do sports. Like, what's going on, right? And I think actually, as our kids grow up, I think it's actually more and more, I think accepted. It's okay to not be good at sports, and not everyone has to be good at sports anymore, which is interesting because I think that's different from how I grew up.
For sure. And I think, you know, especially as leaders, we hear all the time, you know, like athletes have faced adversity and they know what it's like to be a member of a team and they know the importance of winning and strategy. And I think that's all true. It's totally true. But it's not the only way. And
absolutely.
I struggled with that as an adolescent and as a teenager and in high school, because I'm just not an athlete. Now health and fitness, like I work out almost every day. So that's like health and fitness is important to me, but organized sports, it doesn't work for me. So I think it's important to embrace that and to find what does.
Yeah, no, I think that's well said. So let's talk about college, because you mentioned you went to college. You went to college for, I think it was like communications marketing degree.
Yep.
Was college something you always knew you were going to do? Was it expected of you, or was it a choice in your house?
Both. So my mom was a teacher. And you know, the breadwinner in the family as a teacher, right? And so teaching was very important. Education was very important. And on top of that, I really loved school. Like I loved school. I don't ever remember a year that I didn't like it. And then especially, you know, in high school, knowing that the next step I would get to choose, and I would get to choose where I wanted to go within reason. I mean, we did not have much. My choices were rather limited and I had to go get scholarships, and then once I got there, I could kind of choose what I wanted to do and what my schedule would be like. Yes, college was something that I was very excited about for a very long time. And then I actually went and got my master's degree too, because I just wasn't done with that, I guess.
And when you went to school, did you know that marketing at that point was something that you really had a passion for? And this whole idea of marketing communications was the world you wanted to be in?
So pretty early on, I actually chose my school. I went to Western Michigan University because they had a good graphic design program. And that's what I thought I wanted to do. I was very creative and I loved the arts. Very quickly, for lots of reasons, I was like, maybe this isn't for me. And lots of people were kind of pushing me toward public relations and marketing. And they were right. What is this? What is public relations? What does that even mean? Communications. But the more I learned, the more it was a great fit. And it just kind of has been all along. I'm just intrigued by communication, you know, public speaking, being in front of people, and also like the strategy behind it all. And yeah, I just, the psychology of it all, it was love at first sight.
So tell us, because I know this is always for a lot of, I mentioned you, a lot of early career professionals listen to this podcast. What was it like? Do you remember what it was like transitioning from school to your first job? You know, how was that? Like, and I know you're, you know, according to LinkedIn, your first job was you were the associate vice president and director of communications, which that sounds like a really big job for someone right out of school. So how did you make that happen?
Let me tell you more about that story. So I started as an intern. During my junior year of college. And it was my third internship. So I had the first two were unpaid, right? That was lots of fun. It was in addition to also working.
It's a great way to get experience.
It is. And we don't do those because it's like, you know, if somebody's actually doing the work, I feel like they should get paid for it. But I did those. I put in the time, literally got the experience that got me a paid internship during my junior year, and I worked there all the way through graduation. Southwest Michigan First was at the time a very small team, less than 10 people. I actually got married right after my college, right after I graduated from college, like 2 months after. My husband and I had been together since high school. So as soon as I was done with college, I was like, getting married. So I got married and then came back to a full-time job. And I was marketing manager. That was literally my job, was marketing manager. And then I stayed there for the next few years. I lost track of what year I left, but I was there for a few years. And this turns into advice here, is my advice I always give to people that are early in their career is to take the job that gives you the most experience. And so marketing manager turned into marketing person for the company. Like I built our first website. I created a brand. I built a brand strategy or a style guide. I set up all of the press conferences, like by myself, like this, it was just me. And so I got all that experience, you know, I got experience in every area of marketing. I was making phone calls to reporters when we sent out press releases. And, I quickly found out what I did like and what I didn't like, and I grew. And I thought, luckily there was a leader there who challenged me hard. But when I rose to the occasion, he gave me opportunities that I, you know, as a 24-year-old had no business doing. It was just the amazing experience. And then at one point he was like, you know, you're doing the work of somebody that I would have called an associate vice president. Do you have the experience? No, but like you deserve the title. And by the way, it'll get you a lot more respect as you're calling people. And so that's the title that I left with. So I went through like 3 or 4 different titles while I was there, and I got so much experience, which I go find yourself a job like that, where you put in the hours, you put in the work, you work hard, but you come away with a ton of experience. And then you can go kind of pick your next job based on what you really want to do.
Yeah. I think that's great advice. And so I want to ask a follow-up to that, because I'm sure this happened. Any stories that maybe didn't go that well that you learned from, that you were like, wow, that was rough. But they stuck with you. So anything you can share?
Yeah. I mean, I worked at a couple places that were like, whoa, this is bad. There was one place that I worked that, you know, will remain nameless, but the culture was just awful. And I was, you know, so early in my career that I've worked at places that the cultures were bad. I've had good places, bad places, but this one place, it was so toxic and it was bad for me. It was bad for me as a human and the way that I felt about myself and just my self-worth. And I was there for 13 months. And before I realized, like, this is not good. And it was, you know, 6 months after I got out of there that I was like, oh, it was the job. And I think sometimes we don't fully realize how much of ourselves we pour into our work. Mm-hmm. And when that's a bad situation, it's a bad relationship. It really is. And so I think there's just a lot more conversation around that and a lot more conversation around culture, but like you can be in a bad situation without it being abundantly obvious until you really take a step back and go, wow, this is not a good place for me. It might seem like it might seem like it's checking all the boxes and people might seem okay, but yeah. And it's okay to walk away. It's okay to walk away if you've only been there 3 months, 6 months, a year, less time than you think is reasonable. Like, get out and go someplace better.
Well, I mean, to your point, I mean, if it affects who you are to the point where you're not being true to yourself, do you really want to stay there? And you know, so much of who we are as people, right, wrong, or different, is the work that we do.
Yeah.
And if that work that you do doesn't resonate with you and doesn't align with your personal values, it's not going to end well. So I think that's good.
It's not. And for what? Right. I mean, for like an amount of time on a piece of paper, like as a leader, I can tell you, if you came to me and I was like, what's this like 6 months at a place for? If you were like, I realized it was a toxic situation. Well, tell me what that means. This and this and this. So I went on and I persevered and found myself this other thing. Like, okay, that makes sense.
Oh yeah. No. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not going to go through every role you've had, but you've had a variety of roles in marketing. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk about, at what point were you introduced to podcasting? Because that is such a big part of who you are, right? Of who your company Casted is. Like, what, like, do you remember, I got so many podcast questions. Do you remember your first, like when you first learned about what a podcast was? Do you remember the first podcast you listened to? Like when you had your first podcast, share some of like how you were, because I think for a lot of us now, right, it's 2021. We're like, yeah, podcasting, like everyone knows what podcasting is, but that wasn't always the case. So share, yeah. Share how this, how did Lindsay get in the world of podcasting?
Yes. So it was probably 2014, 2015. I had a commute for the first time in a while. We had moved to Indianapolis. I had been working from home remotely for a while. And then I got a job where I was commuting downtown. And at that point, you know, podcasts had been around for a while, like longer than a lot of people realize, but they were starting to having this revival thanks to Serial and some of those other, you know, true crime podcasts, which I've never been into true crime, but because of that, like there were other podcasts that were starting to really take off. Like for me in and around marketing and leadership and things that I really geek out to. And so I was like, you know what? I can make this 45-minute commute go a lot smoother and just, I don't like to waste time. I'm a very efficient person. So I was like, I bet I could learn something. And I could, you know, I don't feel, I had really little kids at the time. My twins were 2 years old and my older one was 2 years old. They're a year or two old. And then I had 3 or 4 years old. And so I didn't have time to like read a book. And so I was like, I could fill my brain. And so I started listening to all the podcasts I possibly could on this, you know, 45 minutes each way commute. And I was like, this is literally changing my life. Like I'm learning things, I'm getting tips and ideas, and it's making, you know, it's fueling my creativity. And I'm literally walking into my office with ideas and like going to my team and saying, hey, what if we tried this? Or I just listened to this. And then it was a great use of time on my drive home. So yeah, I would say I don't remember what podcast it was, but I got a lot out of the Actionable Marketing podcast by CoSchedule. That was one that I really liked at the time. And then fun story, actually, I was on it a couple weeks ago. So
oh, very cool.
360. You just never know what's gonna happen. But yeah, the marketing podcasts that just really were so actionable for me really changed things.
So you bring up a great point, which was podcasts have been around for a long time, but they really didn't have maybe the visibility that they have today or what it was. But I think you're 100% right. There was a variety of things that helped, but the true crime, like that whole series of like, I don't know, detective podcasts, mm-hmm. right? Like about serial killers and stuff like that really helped, I think, bring them to life. I don't know what the word is, but did you realize at that point that podcasts were something you wanted to work with professionally? And because it's one thing to just to listen to something, be like, wow, this is great, I'm learning a lot and I'm bringing ideas to work. And there's a whole other thing to think, you know what, like this whole podcast thing, like this could be like my future. Like how did you connect all the dots?
Yeah. Kind of not really. Like as a marketer listening to a marketing podcast, I definitely was like, this is a thing. I was working for an agency at the time. We were not doing much marketing for ourselves at all because the cobbler, you know, that's that saying, the cobbler's children have no shoes. Like that's a thing. We were not doing very good at marketing for ourselves. So launching a podcast on top of like needing to do anything was very low on the list. And I kept kind of trying to throw it out there for some of our clients and it didn't take, but then I went to another company, where I started a podcast. I came in, I wasn't at an agency anymore. I was in-house and I was brought on board to lead their global content strategy, and kind of run the brand from that perspective. And as part of that, I was like, you know, we need to humanize this brand. We need to build relationships with our audience. Start a podcast. And so
that was the first podcast one that you started.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
And what did you, were you like immediately hooked? Like, what did you think?
Yeah. So it was, I loved it. I mean, personally, it was fun. It was a lot of work. I also, I don't know if you went through this when starting your show, you said you've been doing this for a few years, but like, you're like, where do I start? I don't know how to do this. But once you get into a rhythm, it was the people I got to meet. And then we're this global company and I started getting feedback from people around the world saying like, I love this show. This is so great. And it makes me feel so connected. And that I'm able to show it to my customers and we would get feedback from our audience around the world. And so, it's not like it was an overnight, you know, millions of people listening every day success, but it did, it started to move the needle and it started to really humanize the brand and make a difference. So yeah, I was hooked pretty quickly. And I saw what a difference it could make not just, hey, let's have a podcast over here on the side, but why not, like, let's have great conversations and use those conversations, yeah, as a show, audio and video content that we could also kind of ring out and use across other channels. Like, how could we use parts of that conversation in other sales materials or in our blog posts or on our website? And so that really was kind of what spurred the idea for Casted.
And so this is obviously a huge pivotal point in your career, because up to this point, you've had multiple marketing jobs doing different responsibilities, mm-hmm. for a variety, you know, you mentioned agencies, in-house, et cetera. You've done all these great things. You have this awesome marketing career, and you decide to say, you know what, I'm going to just stop working for someone else and I'm going to launch my own business, all focused on marketing and podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So I just for anyone out there, let's pause this for a moment, right? So you have a successful career, you have a family with little kids. And I mean, mm-hmm. and for those that don't realize how hard it is to have three kids, like, because we both have three kids, mm-hmm. it is a challenge, right? Every mm-hmm. day is complete chaos in my house. I don't know about you.
It's very loud here all the time.
It's all the time. So you have this great career, you have this amazing family, and you're like, you know what? I really think I'm going to start a business and just stop working for someone and the steady paycheck and everything that goes along with like that. Like, you know what? Every 2 weeks I'm going to get paid and just mix it up completely. So how did you make that happen? I'm assuming you obviously had the idea while you were working at your previous company and mm-hmm. did some pre-work before you launched. But
yeah.
I always ask this question to entrepreneurs, because when I had my business, I was not married at the time. So I didn't go to my wife and say, hey, I'm going to quit my job and go work for myself.
Yeah.
What was that conversation like with people you cared about, like your husband or like your family? Did they look yeah. at you like, Lindsay, like, what are you talking about? Or were they like all in right from the beginning?
Yeah. So, cause there's like 10 different stories within the story that I want to tell you. So it was, everything's a calculated risk, right? And people ask me like, are you a risk taker? And I don't jump out of planes, which makes me say, no, of course I don't take risks. But I also know lots of people that never, ever, ever would have done this. And they tell me that. They're like, I would never do that. However, for me, when the opportunity presented itself, which I'll tell you about, the way that I made the decision was that I couldn't imagine not doing it.
Okay.
That's it, right? Is that I thought about it every which way. And I was like, literally, I've never been a CEO before. I'm not going to be a marketer anymore. Like, I don't run marketing at Casted. I'm part of it, of course. But like, we have a brilliant marketer and she's building her team. So I'm not doing marketing anymore.
Right.
I'm doing CEOing. Like,
means, right?
Right. I don't have a business degree. I don't have an MBA. Like, this is, I went to school for marketing. I have a master's degree in marketing. This is new. So yes,
can
in many
pause
ways.
For 1 second, yeah. I want to just say like, and you don't need a business degree and you don't need an MBA and nope. you don't need any of those things to be a successful CEO, because yep. you're doing it. You don't have those things. So I just want right. to make sure we clarify that.
Yes. Less. Yes. I will repeat that as long as I can. The key is surround yourself with really smart people. Like, don't be afraid, you know, mm-hmm. don't get in your own way. Surround yourself with really smart people who are willing to help, which most people are. Honestly, when you ask for help, people are excited to help and want to be a part of your story. They just do. And don't be afraid to ask for help and be really, really, really comfortable with being uncomfortable and ask a lot of questions. Like, that's,
yeah.
So, because I guarantee if I had gotten an MBA and gone to business school, like, I'd be in the same position, because it's not everything is directly applicable, right?
No, I agree.
So there's that. And the opportunity that presented itself is that there's a venture studio here in Indianapolis called High Alpha. And one of the partners there, Scott Dorsey, who started Exact Target, sold it to, went public and sold it to Salesforce. So he knows a thing or two about marketing technology, about, you know, building a business. He's now a partner at High Alpha, which has a venture studio, which kind of grows companies. Mm-hmm. And he approached me and he said, hey, B2B podcasting, this is something that like, I think might be a thing. Tell me what you know about it. And so we talked about it. And I was like, if this is a thing, and I think it makes sense to do something about it. And so that wasn't the same. I mean, just to be really clear, it's not the same as like, starting it in my garage. There was a kind of a safety net and a group that came around me to say, hey, we're going to help you. It was that group of smart people. Mm-hmm. I was surrounded by them from day one. But yes, it also was walking away from everything I knew about being a marketing leader, and stepping out and stepping into this new role, going and raising venture capital, which I had never done before. I've done it twice now.
Congrats, by the way.
Thanks. And growing a company, and yeah, it's incredible. It's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work. So.
Yeah, no. And so back to the one of my previous questions. So was your family excited for you?
Oh,
were
yeah.
They nervous? Was it both? Like what was that conversation like?
Probably depends on who you ask. My husband was like, again, he's like, how can you not do this? He's like, you have to do this. You have to do this. And so every time I got wobbly about it, I'm like, what if this and what if this? And he was like, what if not? Like, what if you don't? And I knew
that. I love that he was that supportive of you.
Oh, he's amazing. He's putting our kids to bed right now. So he's pretty great. And he works too. He's in sales. And so like dual career household, that's a lot. And so, yeah. And then I think depending on who else you ask, like my kids were really excited about it. They thought it was pretty cool. Obviously they didn't really know what it meant. I think both of our parents were like, what? I think they were like, what are you doing? What does this mean?
What is this podcast thing? Yeah.
Yeah. Did you lose your job? I'm like, no, this was a choice. Yeah. Podcasts. You're going to go make podcasts. I was like, well, no. Yeah. So I think there were a lot of questions from people who don't kind of live in this world, but, friends were kind of like, that's awesome. Right? This is awesome. This is good. Oh, you're excited. Okay. Yay. You're excited. This is a good thing. So, yeah.
No, I mean, it is an interesting, for people that aren't entrepreneurs, it's hard to understand at times, mm-hmm. when an entrepreneur goes off and does what they do. Right. I mean, yeah. It is to your point, not everyone would have done it. So why, can you share with my audience, just because not everyone is probably familiar with Casted.
Sure.
What is Casted?
Sure.
Like what does the company do? Like, why do you exist?
Yep.
And you've been in business now, I think you founded in 2019. So,
yep.
So a couple of years now, and how is it going? So what do you do and how's it going? Let's hear.
Yeah. So our second birthday is this upcoming Thursday, April 29th. So we are almost 2 years. Oh, thank you.
Almost two.
On behalf of Casted. And what do we do? So, in the most, since I know there's also not a lot of like marketers here. So in the most like basic terms, we're a software company. So we are software that a marketing team would buy. It's like it's annual subscription, specifically like larger companies. So mid-market to enterprise size companies that have content. So people that care a lot about thought leadership and positioning their brand with things like, you know, blogging and possibly podcasting and video, right? To build relationships with their audience, they would buy Casted to go have a conversation like we have, record it, upload it into Casted, and then we host it, we get it out into the world, just like you're doing now. But then we also help that marketing team really ring it out across other channels and use parts of that show on social media and in their blog posts, give it to their sales team so they can be more effective, give it to other people in the company so that they can be more effective, and just get more out of every conversation, and then measure it in ways that really matter to a B2B mid-market enterprise size business to say, how is this impacting revenue? So we overcome a lot of challenges that are presented by podcast software, because it doesn't tend to be made for those marketing teams. It's made for mm-hmm. kind of other people, and they don't really measure things that those teams do. So yeah, it's a content marketing platform all based around audio and video content.
And just, I want to, if you could just share with the audience. So if you look at like the, and this is back to like your passion for marketing, right? So I think when podcasting originally started, I don't think a lot of companies necessarily used it. It was more individuals and it was more entertainment. Mm-hmm. But I think to your point, it's the whole, and the whole idea of podcasting is really just like we were talking before the show, right? It's you see so many huge companies investing more in it. And you probably just saw that Apple's launched mm-hmm. a subscription service for podcasts. Spotify yep. is launching it, right? So it's this huge thing now, but it's not just people doing it for entertainment. Mm-hmm. A lot of businesses are using it now too, which is where your company comes in.
Exactly. Yep. So our customers are, you know, companies like Salesforce, who have like more than 24 shows, different shows, not episodes, shows around the world.
Wow.
You know, Zoom Info, PayPal, HubSpot, they're customers of ours because those stories that you have, the use cases that you, how your customers are using your product, how and why you're meeting a need, how people are using what you do and how they're making a difference with their customers, right? Telling stories about who you are and what you do and the difference that you're making is something that's really important for brands. And so audio and video content is, you know, everybody who's listening and watching right now, that's what audiences want. You're creating a connection with your audience by inviting them into these conversations that you're having. And that same goes for larger brands. You know, the more they can create relationships with their audiences and real connections and real trust by inviting people in on conversations and becoming more human. And podcasts and audio and video podcasts are really, really good at doing that.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting how, how marketing for, you know, during your career alone has changed, you know, how dramatically, right? and how software and technology has kind of just pushed the envelope on what you do as a marketer. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask one more thing about about your business, and then we'll wrap up with our final question.
Sure.
You're 2 years in, mm-hmm. you've raised venture capital twice already as a very young business, which is awesome. You're growing. I see you're growing. You're hiring more people. Mm-hmm. You obviously have some huge brands that are a part of your like your portfolio of people that use your product. What I want to hear two things from you. Like, what has been one thing that you're like just super super proud of in the 2 years you've done this that like you just that just like warms your heart? And then there's one what is and then share one thing that you learned from that you're like, wow, I never saw that coming, or that was an opportunity that I could have done better that you learned from.
Okay. The thing that I'm most proud of is easy. The other one I'm going to think on for a minute, but I the thing that warms my heart more than anything else is this team. We have 25 people now, a few more coming on board. We had 10 when we started the pandemic. This team is just, not only are they brilliant, but they show up for each other. And, you know, one of the things that was really exciting to me in starting Casted was like, my passion, something that's become clear to me over the last few years, is what I really love doing more than anything else is creating something that didn't exist before. And that's decorating a home office. And that's building a product. But it's also very, very clear to me that that's also building a team and building a culture and building a workplace and like things that being the change that I wanted to see and being the workplace that I want to be a part of, you know? And seeing that come to fruition and like bringing on my co-founders, and they were really aligned with me too. And this is something that's really important to us, is having a place where people are passionate and excited and curious and feel safe and, you know, psychological safety, where people can ask questions mm-hmm. and bring who they really are, and be embraced for it and celebrated for it. That's super important. And seeing that really come to life and start to take on a life of its own, even in the midst of a pandemic where there's people who haven't even met each other in real life, like half of us.
Right. Yeah.
That's what gets me emotional. Like that's awesome. Gosh, the things that couldn't have, I think, just the most obvious one to me is raising capital, like, fundraising. And that's, I can imagine, I've never fundraised like, on behalf of like a nonprofit or anything like that. It's hard. It is really, really hard. And we had great outcomes both times. We had amazing investors come on, you know, and support us and partner with us both times. Really, really proud of both rounds. But man, if I could go back and know now what I knew, like take what I know now and apply it to then, you're just learning. And you're learning through mistakes and bumps in the roads and, right. you know, times where it's like, I think that went really well. And then you look back and you're like, that did not go well. Like I, you know, it's so, but it's what makes you stronger. It's learnings like that give you thicker skin and more self-awareness and growth. Well, I
mean, both things that you mentioned, right. The opportunity to build a team and the opportunity to raise venture capital. Mm-hmm. They're not things that everyone gets to do. So that's awesome that you've been able to do both of those and you've learned from both experiences. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah.
So I always close with the same question, Lindsay, which is, which I think is always very helpful for my audience. What is the one thing that's helped you reach your full potential? So you've been successful in a variety of different organizations, working for yourself, working for other people. What is the one thing that's made Lindsay so successful in your career?
I think, especially for your audience, that's kind of earlier in their career, kind of getting started out or maybe trying something new, it's raise your hand. and get as much experience as you possibly can. And that's not even an early in your career thing. I mean, that's happening to me right now. Like, you know, it's being willing to step out and say, I don't know how to do that, but I'm going to learn. Mm-hmm. And maybe I won't be great at it, but I'm going to come out the other side of it better than I am now, because I literally don't know how to do that yet. I mean, my first job was taking on as much marketing responsibility as I could. And, you know, I think just getting the more experience you can possibly get, the more you can raise your hand for things that you're interested in. I mean, it doesn't mean like volunteer for every committee and overwork yourself and let people, I mean, not saying that, but like, I think, you know, I think that would be a good experience for me. I think I should learn how to do that. It'll serve you well. I mean, there's still things that I'm glad I know how a process works or a thing operates because I did it 15 years ago.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And to your point, you're always learning. I mean, you're learning as a CEO every day. And, mm-hmm. and I think you've embraced that, which is probably why you're building this awesome culture and the company is successful. So Lindsay, thank you so much for making time. I know obviously between being a founder and a parent, you're extremely busy. So I appreciate you taking a few minutes of your time while the kids are going to bed to join the podcast and share your career journey. It was awesome.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you so much for the opportunity to come chat with you for a while about it.
And I will keep looking for more wisdom from you while you're at the orthodontist office with your kids.
Next appointment is this Thursday. So
we have no idea what might come out of it this Thursday. So thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Full Potential Podcast. If you'd like to hear more interviews, please subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts, Google, and Spotify. You can also connect with us on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And don't forget to check out our website, fullpotentialmovement.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing, and be well.